Sturgeon's Law Number 80, How to Have Fun on a Budget, Shopping Sturgeon's Law Style, A New Blog, An Old Doctor, Some Email, and Classic Rock Podsafe Style.
90% of everything
men sometimes have strange motives for the things they do
is crud.
You're listening to Sturgeon's Law, the podcast that keeps you up to date on the 10% of everything that isn't crud. Check out the show notes at www.sturgeonslaw.com, and you can find the music used in this show at the Podsafe Music Network and Magnatune.com. Now here's your host, Random.
Thank you again, Mr. Brad Example, and we have a number of things for you. Welcome if you're a new listener. We sure do have a bunch of new subscriptions thanks to PodcastReady.com. And speaking of whom, we'll get to those things right after this. Tired of feeling wired? If you're stuck at one machine trying to shake loose some podcasts, you're missing most of the fun. With PodcastReady.com, you can get to your subscriptions anywhere you can run a web browser. Then download the MyPodder software and download your new shows anywhere you can plug in your portable player. Exchange favorite shows and favorite episodes with your friends and never complain about having nothing to listen to or watch again. PodcastReady.com. Cooler than an iPhone and $600 cheaper. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I'm a guy who has to live within modest means. I'm a single income, I have a family of four, I podcast for free, and, well, there it is. So, I have to figure out, like most of you do, I'm sure, how to get my entertainment on a budget. So, I have a few ways here that I wanted to offer to you as ways that I've been trying to keep the costs down and still have some fun. First of all is Wish Radar. Now, of course, Amazon seems to be the king of the hill when it comes to wish lists. At least, I've tried some of the mass wish list sites that don't lock you down to one online vendor, and I've had a lot of trouble getting people to follow them. Now, Wish Radar is sort of that. Well, no, it's not at all, because actually, it only looks for stuff on a few sites itself. Let me back up and tell you the idea. The whole point of Wish Radar is that you add something to Wish Radar's wish list. Then you tell it how much you're interested in paying for it, and it will alert you when it finds the item for that much or less. Finds it where? On Amazon.com, on Amazon Marketplace, and on Half.com. Now, this might mean that you're not really willing to go for the quality that you find a match at, and that's fine. But the point is that it keeps an eye out for you and lets you know when things show up inside of the budget that you've set. Now, you can also use this as a wish list for other people to look at and say that they've bought something for you and so on. I'm not sure how much use that actually has, but as a way of keeping track for yourself and keeping an eye on particularly Amazon Marketplace and Half.com together, or even Amazon sales, pretty useful. It's a nice way to keep an eye on things. I like it particularly for video games that I'm really not interested in buying when they're brand new and cost $50, $60, but I might want to know when they dip under, say, $20, and so I can add them and forget them because Wish Radar will tell me when they go under that mark. So that's a real nice service. It'll not only will it import your Amazon wish lists for you, it'll also continue to import from those wish lists if you set it to do so, which is really handy. There's also a nice bookmarklet for adding things if you don't want to do it that way. So you have lots of options there. I found this site very useful, and it saved me some money, no two ways about it. Next up is SwapTree. Now, I'm not the only podcaster I know who's been trying SwapTree, but I think I'm the only one so far that's quite gotten in this deep. SwapTree is a trading site. They don't charge you per trade like some sites do. Instead, you have to pay for the postage, of course, and that can be substantial because SwapTree is set up for swapping books, CDs, movie DVDs or TV DVDs, and video games, both PC and console. Now, the trick to SwapTree is that you're not trading type for type. They say that you shouldn't list anything that you're not willing to trade for anything that you list on your want list, because they're going to set up any swap that they can make. You see, because they try to arrange the swaps for you based on your list of what you have and are willing to trade and what you're looking for. Even better, and this is the tricky part to do manually, they'll try and set up three-way swaps. I send something to you, you send something to another person, and they send something to me, all of us being matched on what we have and what we want. I've actually had that happen once. I'm in the middle of a trade right now that I have no idea what one leg of it is, of course, because I'm not involved in it, but I sent one book to one guy. He sent something, I have no idea what, to another, who is sending me a book that I wanted. So that's worked out really well, or it will when I get the book. Now, I have done one one-to-one trade that's actually complete. It was a game for a game, and I was very pleased with why I got it, and from the feedback, the other person was pleased as well. So that's gone nicely. Now, the complaint that I've heard from other podcasters and other people in general is, well, I never get any trades. And the truth of the matter is that most of the stuff that you list that you have probably isn't immediately, or maybe not even anytime soon, going to be traded. Somebody has to list it to want, or to look for it specifically and try and initiate a trade based on it like that. So, you never know. On the other hand, that book trade that I mentioned, the three-way trade, was on a book that I had no hope was going to get traded. And yet, there it happened. Suddenly came out of nowhere. When I first listed it, it didn't show as wanted, but then a trade happened. Likewise, the game that I traded was not one that I expected to get to trade and did not list as something tradable at first. So you never know. The trick is, if you have enough stuff that you're willing to get rid of because you're done with it for whatever reason, then you list it, and you see what happens. Now, they do require that items be complete, and that they, of course, be usable. And so, you do want to watch out for that. I have gotten some used games from GameStop, formerly EB Games, that don't have, like, the instruction book in them, and, well, that's not going to fly on SwapTree. Nevertheless, I have hopes for it. I mean, I've already gotten a couple of good trades out of it, and I hope to do some more. I don't plan on getting a lot out of it, but, you know, it's a good way to get a real budget deal. For the game trade, I had to pay $5 of packaging and shipping, but I got Call of Duty 2 for $5 plus a game that I wasn't playing anymore. Seems like a deal to me. Now, third up is kind of similar to SwapTree, except it's much more focused. Now, PureFlix, as you may have heard me mention before, does charge you $1 plus postage because they print postage for you on each trade. The reason I like PureFlix is because it's more of a temporary feel to the trade. I'm not intending to keep anything I get via PureFlix, but to turn it around as soon as I watch it. You see, you don't send the box and you don't send the art or whatever comes with it. You just send the disc or discs as the case may be. Now that keeps the postage down, but it means that what you get is not something you're really going to want to keep laying around since you didn't get a box with it. It's probably more of a way to do an alternative to Netflix, which I'm sure is where the name PureFlix came from. And indeed, that's how I've treated it. Now, Netflix didn't work out for me because I so rarely get around to actually watching movies on DVD. I do it once in a while, but it's pretty rare, and it just wasn't financially sensible to use Netflix where I had to pay a monthly cost. Not so with PureFlix, where I only pay whenever I actually do a trade. If I leave stuff lay around like I have for the past few months, well, I'm not paying anything to do that. So, that works out real well, and I've had pretty good luck with it, and they have treated me okay on the instances where I got something that wasn't playable. They've always refunded and never give me any flack about it. Now, it's possible if that happens too often, you never know. But I've had really good luck with PureFlix. So those are my three ways to have fun on a budget. I know there's a lot more, and if you have some suggestions, by all means, leave me some voicemail or some email, and we'll see what we can find out about it. Now, speaking of shopping, which I was in a roundabout way, I wanted to tell you that I've set up the Sturgeon's Law Amazon store, or a store. The whole idea of this for me is just that all these things that I've listed in the show notes previously that I've linked to their Amazon entries, which I do link with the affiliate ID or associate ID, whatever it's called, that's never made me any money, so I'm not griping at you, I'm just saying. But nevertheless, I'm also putting together this store page for people to look around at all the stuff that I've listed before. And I'll try to keep that up to date as I link to new stuff. Anyway, if you want to like poke around, by all means do that. If you buy something, of course, I get some little thing from Amazon, but not a hard sell. Link to that is all links is in the show notes.
Kickball. Sumpro. Tag. Monkey Balls.
For many of us, recess was an important part of the school day, and it offered so many options.
A chance to tell a joke, sing a song, and to be with our friends outside of the classroom. But now, with academics emphasized and budget cuts looming, recess is on the firing line.
Believe it or not, approximately 40% of schools across the USA have either eliminated or are considering eliminating recess.
Many educators think kids return from recess more exhilarated, confident, and imaginative.
Experts agree that playtime can be just as vital as classroom time to a child's social, emotional, and educational development.
So if you think it's about more than a game of hopscotch, it's time to speak up.
For more information on Rescuing Recess, go to www.pta.org.
Or rescuingrecess.com. Because recess isn't just child's play.
Okay, a few real quick things, and then we're going to listen to some music and get out of here. Stephen Fry, British actor, writer, Renaissance man, host of QI, as I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, has a fairly new blog. Well, he doesn't call it blogging. He says he's writing blessays. That is to say, he's not giving you those short little posts, but instead he writes an essay about something. And he doesn't do it daily. He does it when he has an essay ready. He's on his third one. They've all been marvelous to read. And what can I tell you? It's excellent reading. Stephen Fry is an amazingly intelligent and an amazingly well-written and well-spoken man. And, have a look. Links in the show notes. Now, on the BBC note, I read something that really, really, really got down to the geek in me when I read about the Children in Need special that will be coming next month on the BBC. Now, Children in Need is something they do every year, of course. It's sort of a fundraising, I don't know if telethon's the right word, but a fundraising evening on British television. And Doctor Who has had a Children in Need special the last year or two, I think. And they're going to do one this year. November 16th, 2007 is the Children in Need evening, and the Doctor Who segment will feature David Tennant as the Doctor, and Peter Davison as the Doctor. That's right, apparently in a special scene, the new Doctor will do his first crossover with one of the original series Doctors. So that, to me, is one of those classic Doctor Who elements. There were three old series episodes when it happened, the three Doctors, the five Doctors, and the two Doctors. And this is something that just kind of gives another link back to that old series that I love so much in the new one. And so I'm really looking forward to this. Once again, November 16th, 2007, that of course will be on the BBC. No doubt there will be a way to see it. And usually the Children in Need specials wind up on the DVD sets, so that's nice to know as well. All right, email and music. Mail from Doug Rapson. Hey Random, another great show. Good to have you back on a regular basis. Put me down as another fan of the I'm a Marvel shorts over at YouTube. The interaction between these two stables is just hilarious, especially for a one-man show. And for lovers of the I'm a Mac parodies, be sure to check out the True Nuff parodies. Geeky regards, Doug. Doug, thanks as always. I want to make sure, by the way, at this point, that you check out Doug's two-year anniversary specials, I guess, episodes 104 and 105, where he interviews a few podcasters, two that he's known a long time, Lynn Griffin and yours truly, and one that he's more recently gotten to know, MA and PA. So all, I like to think, strong geek podcasters, all peers of Doug Rapson, or at least we'd like to think that we are. Doug's quite a talent in podcasting and has shamed me with his regular schedule. So congratulations to Doug on 2 years, and by all means, check out those specials. Mail from Zach from the Geek Survival Guide. Random. I am also not usually a country music guy. I mean, some Eddie Rabbit maybe every now and then. Maybe an occasional Johnny Cash. But after hearing the last ep of Sturgeon's Law, dagnabbit, I had to buy that Colin Ray song. I am sheep. Zach. Zach? Bah. Okay, pod safe music and then we're out of here. I know, I just played Ann Wilson a couple of episodes ago. Well, three, I think. But the point is, here I am back playing Heart for you. Here's my excuse. The one thing the podcasters, including myself, complained about since there's been podcasting was that we were restricted from playing the music that forms our childhood, our youth, you know, our past, the things that make us think of nostalgia and of stories of our own lives. That's, we have a soundtrack. Everyone has, I think, a soundtrack to their lives. And we couldn't play it. it's all the music that the RIAA locked down from us. Well, there are leaks in that wall. That's what I'm here to tell you. First, we had Ann Wilson doing the cover of the Immigrant Song, and that's pretty close. Of course, I've played you in the last few months Howard Jones. We had the Brian Setzer Orchestra recently, and just had Thomas Dolby. Now we have not only a classic performer, but doing a classic song. So this is straight out of my younger years, shall we say. This is Heart doing a live version of Crazy on You. This was recorded at a concert in April of this year. Chris Daly's Riding with the Window Down played Magic Man from the same concert recently. I didn't want to exactly duplicate him. So once again, this is Heart with a live version of Crazy on You. Enjoy.
Crazy on you. Oh, I
And once again, that was Heart with a live version of Crazy on You from April of this year and posted on the Podsafe Music Network.
This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
And can you believe it? That wraps up show number 80. As always, all links and all other good stuff are in the show notes at www.sturgeonslaw.com. You can send us an email like Doug and Zach did at sturgeonslaw@gmail.com. And if you want to send some voice, just send it to the Gmail address or get a hold of me and we'll figure something out. Once again, and if you really think we need to have a phone number, let me know again. I am still keeping in mind Chris Daly's suggestion, and we'll just see how that goes. Anyway, until next time, see ya.
This is a different thing. It's spontaneous, and it's called wit.